Church, it is good to be with you today on Easter Sunday. If you are joining us today, welcome. We are so thankful to have you in the house. I am the campus pastor here at the most incredible church in the city. I am so thankful. Tunde, you never have to apologize for saying too much, brother. Over this past weekend, I just continue to be so impressed by what God is doing and where he's moving within this congregation. Tunde, as you're calling out names of brothers that you see in the congregation, that is our heart, right? Is that, and it's hard to see up here, okay? So that's a feat, But it is our heart that nobody just simply be a butt in a seat, right? We're not interested. It is full here today, and we're thankful for what God is doing. But the point is that each and every one of you carry a story worth telling. And we desperately want to know that story so we can have a better understanding as a whole community of where God is taking us and his plan for this city, for your neighborhoods, for your workplaces, for your schools. And I'm just so thankful. Tunde already gave a shout out. Church, I'm so thankful for a church that continues to serve one another. We are not a pastor-led church where the pastors do all the work, anything but, in fact. On Waiting Saturday, I had the awesome opportunity to open this incredible prayer time. Somebody asked me, they were like, is this like a Pentecostal thing? Is this like a, like, what is this? I said, no, it's really just a Life Center thing. I said, I had never heard of it before coming to this church, but it is a beautiful time to be together, to pray together, to sit in this space together. And as I was welcoming everybody and praying over the food, 24 of our hospitality team came out the side door with baskets and no one else had to move. And I just watched as God's grace and the servanthood that was present. Yeah, it was just a really cool moment as a pastor to watch the church being the church, right? Like, this is like an Acts type moment. It was just really, really beautiful. Church, if you have your Bibles, why don't you go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 24. I mentioned on Good Friday how fired up I was to just talk about Jesus for a whole message. We're going to, in a very short amount of time, next week, in fact, we're going to jump back into the minor prophets, and it is going to be a blessed time, and we weave Jesus in because he's there, he's present in the Old Testament, but I am so excited to sit and be in the scriptures today on Resurrection Sunday, to talk about who it is that we have just proclaimed in song. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24. We're going to read verses 1 to 12 in just a moment and have a blessed time in scripture. Church, God is good and he is risen. Ah, you guys are killing it. I love that. That's so fun. Listen, church, it is a blessed time to be in scripture. We're going to talk about Jesus, but we're also going to talk about the disciples. We're going to talk about those who were present at the time, and we're going to talk a little bit about how easy it is to be forgetful. And my wife, if she's here in the room, will be nodding her head vigorously right now. It is easy to be forgetful. It is easy to sit in a place where I have been told that I have been told something 3 times, 4 times, 6 times. Over my 18 years of marriage, I have finally learned my lesson. I can't tell you the exact moment that it was, but along this road and along this journey, I have learned my lesson of you don't simply confirm a date. You know what I'm talking about? Someone comes up to you and they're like, hey, we'd love to have you over on such and such a date at such and such a time. Hey, would you be available to hang out this weekend? All these type of things. And I used to say, for sure, I would love to. Yes, let's do it. And then I would go home to my incredible wife as she was taking care of our children. I'd say, honey, look, guess what? So we're going to be hanging out with so-and-so today. And I'm all excited until I saw the response in her face. Not the words. Just the look. Early on in my marriage, I didn't know what that look was, but I know. I know very well what it is now. It was that look of, what are you doing? And she would proceed to tell me, honey, do you remember last night when we sat down and talked about our calendar? I'd be like, yeah, for sure. Great talk. It was awesome. Do you remember the dates that we talked about? No. Should we go over it again? She's like, we do need to because that date has been booked for months. Church, there are so many times in my life where in different situations, in different places, that I have been known to be forgetful. Where I have been known to step into different situations and even to the best of my intentions, still those details will slip my mind. An opportunity for me to grow over the years in administration. And maybe you found yourself in a similar place where just before you walk out the door or just before, you know, you're sitting in a place and you're like, wow, that laundry's been in the washing machine for 3 days. How did I forget that it's just been there? And it just hits you, right? Sitting in the middle of somewhere. Well, the same thing happens in Scripture. We're going to join the disciples on this incredible Passover Sunday, this resurrection day as the tomb is rolled away. And they come onto this place where an incredible miracle has taken place. Jesus is alive. He is no longer found in the tomb. The stone has been rolled away, and they are flabbergasted. There's an amazement that we'll read about in just a moment. But I want to encourage you, maybe not right now as I'm speaking, but later on today, I want you to go back through the Gospels, and I want you to see how over and over and over again, Jesus told them, this is what will happen. See, Jesus is the master of I can, and I will, and it shall be. Over this past weekend, we've said one quote over and over again. We can't, but Jesus can. We can't, but Jesus can. It's one of the most beautiful pieces of the Christian understanding of theology, is this constant wrestle that we have in humanity of trying. Maybe you're here this morning and you're so tired because you have been trying. You've been trying to remember all those dates. Maybe you've been trying to solve all of those problems. Maybe you've been trying to live up to the standard of what truly would personify you as a good person. Maybe you've been trying to be a good husband, a good wife, a good daughter, a good son, a good friend, a good coworker. You've been trying to finally overcome the thing that's been just keeping you captive, and you've had really good weeks and then really terrible days. The other religions and philosophies and self-help guides will continue to encourage you in the form of you can, or you should, or you better, or you can hope, but not the story of Jesus. On Good Friday, we read this quote from Philip Scaife, where he notes the following regarding Jesus. Let's read it again this morning. Jesus of Nazareth, without money and arms, conquered more millions than Alexander the Great, Caesar, Muhammad, and Napoleon. Without science and learning, he shed more light on things human and divine than all philosophers and all scholars combined. Without the eloquence of school, he spoke such words of life as we were never spoken before or since, and produced effects which lie beyond the reach of orator or poet. Without writing a single line, he set more pens in motion and furnished themes for more sermons, orations, discussions, learned volumes, works of art, and songs of praise than the whole army of great men of ancient and modern times. Church, he is Lord. Let's pray this morning before we dive into our scripture. God, you are so welcome in this place. And Jesus, we proclaim that you are King, that you are worthy of all praise, that you are holy. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Glory to you in the highest. This morning, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, God, that you would speak to our soul, speak to our mind today. God, would you help us in our seasons of forgetfulness? God, would you help us in our seasons where we simply misplace our understanding or our trust or our hope? God, I pray that you would be with each person in this room that have been trying desperately to live up to their own understanding and their own image of what it truly means to do well in this world. God, would you have your way today? Revive us, O Lord. Revive us this morning, Lord Jesus, with a fresh understanding of your cross, with a new awe to the tomb, and Lord God, with a fresh mission in our heart to serve you. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Amen, amen. All those things that we just read in that quote, it hinges on the events of Passover Sunday morning. If the tomb is still occupied, then the time here on earth doesn't mean much, because what he said about himself didn't come to pass. Believing Jesus to still be dead, the disciples are feeling the weight of the what now, as their Savior, as their teacher, as their friend has been lifted off of the cross, clothed in burial clothing and placed in a tomb with a heavy stone placed in front of it. A stone heavier than just a simple man would be able to move, but that wasn't enough. There was also guards posted at the tomb. In the devastation of Friday, what he said was true became a struggle to trust. And isn't it something that on a few occasions, most recently in the Garden of Gethsemane, the one who never lied to them told them that he would be stricken down, but that he would also rise to meet them in Galilee. So even the opening lines on Resurrection Sunday, the story, it shows us that we can't, even when Jesus himself tells us, display perfect faith. We can't, but Jesus can. Let's read it together. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, yet on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Jonah and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Jesus is alive. And it was an invitation for all of those present, for all of those that were there, to remember not only his words, but his promise. And church, we've said this many times before, but when God speaks in prophecy, when God speaks in a revelation of what is yet to come, it is not simply a, well, maybe, well, possibly, we'll see. When God speaks in prophecy, when God speaks into what is yet to come, church, it is promise. And so not only is he risen, but we also know that our King is coming again soon. We don't know the time or the hour, but church, I encourage you that he is coming again soon. And we have been charged by the Son to make sure that we are prepared for that soon coming day. Church, is there oil in your lamp this morning? Is he the one who is lighting your path? Are you here this morning continuing to feed your heart, to feed your soul, to nourish your mind with the things of the Lord? Because all other things are dead. They approach the tomb, having heard the promise, and yet ready to pay their respects to a teacher that they love dearly, ready to pay the respects to someone that they had just seen hanging on the cross. Peter himself approaching this tomb, unbelieving, is it possible that I'll be able to continue this conversation with my friend who I had just recently denied? Jesus is not here, but has risen. It's an invitation for all of them to remember the words of Jesus. And church, this morning, I want you to remember just how good God has been. And see, the same thing happens in our own lives. The amount of times where we can find ourselves in a situation where it doesn't feel like God is near. It doesn't feel like God is close. It feels like he is distant. And we ask the same questions. Does God see me? Does he love me? Is he worth following? But time and time again, testimony after testimony after testimony. If you're here this morning and you're sitting beside someone to your right or to your left, I promise you that there are testimonies in this room that go this way. I was doing this. I was heading one way. I was in an impossible situation, but God. I was doing this. I was heading one way. I found myself in a storm. I found myself in an impossible situation, but Jesus showed up. He was present in my life. And so the testimonies that ring out over and over and over again in this place are not in the power of what it is that we have done, but it's the power in Christ alone. He made a way where there seemed to be no way. He brought healing where everyone else said there would be none. He opened the door where it seemed like every door was closed. He has set me free where before was only captivity. He has broken the chains that bound me. He has done all of these things. He has made me whole. This is our Savior. The best part of those testimonies, though, isn't just the testimony in the moment. It's the follow-up conversations, right? Okay, so tell me about all these things. And what you'll hear and what you'll find is not only did Jesus show up in that situation, but he had shown up before and before and before and before. For those of you that were present here on Good Friday, we watched a testimony of this incredible woman named Erin and how God showed up tremendously in her testimony moment of this moment where she just asked God, reveal yourself. And he did. And then weeks later, in a vision, he showed her where he had been there all along. That's our God. Church, I want to encourage you this morning. Not only is he with you today, but he has been with you all along. Not only can you testify of his greatness today, not only can we celebrate that the stone is rolled away, that he is risen, but we can proclaim that it has always been so. It is a day to rejoice. But it is also an invitation for us to remember a lifetime of intimacy with the Father. A lifetime of the presence of God in your life. Church, every good thing comes from God. And he is not one that leaves us. See, as Peter runs to the tomb, as they hear these words, he isn't here. The first layer of that sentence from these angelic men, that first layer is this, is he is not dead. He is not conquered. He is not untrustworthy, but he is risen, which means he is alive. He is the conqueror. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Church, he is trustworthy. This Sunday changed all of it. My story, your story, it's not rooted in what we could do, but in what Jesus alone has done. Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane tells Jesus that he is wrong. But he's found himself in a place where now his Savior is dead, his teacher is dead, and he has found himself in a situation of denial. But at the news that Jesus was risen, what does Peter do? He rises and runs to the tomb. Stooping in and looking, he sees that the linen clothes are by themselves. And he walked away marveling at what had happened. We can't, but Jesus can. because Jesus is risen, God is present, and church, he is working in your story today. You may feel like you're just here by accident. Maybe you're here this morning because this is the Sunday that you attend a church on the given calendar, but I want to encourage you, God has a bigger plan for you today than that. I want to encourage you that my God wants to set you free. He wants to set your heart to dancing. He wants to open your eyes to see the sun and the moon and the stars and all of this in a brand new way. Last night, I saw this incredible report from one of the astronauts who's right now out in space, and he was asked this tricky question. And his response was, you know, I haven't really prepared anything, but as I look out of our windows at the place in which you find yourself, I've noticed that I'm not the only one on a spaceship. And I was like, oh, that's cool. He's like, listen, I'm on a spaceship, but so are you. Your spaceship is just blue and green and round. He goes, when we look around at all of the emptiness in space, there is life. And you found yourself on one home, on one spaceship. And he began to describe the power of this Resurrection Sunday and what Jesus had come to do. The reminder that not only did Jesus come to set free you and I, but just as Tunde has said, his desire is that the whole world would know him. That although we may find ourselves in different countries from different cultures, when we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, we see one intention, that our God who created us desperately wants us to know him. And in knowing him, that we would belong to one kingdom under God. That we would proclaim not allegiance to a flag, not allegiance to a shape of ground or a continent, but that we would understand that we have been called his own. And because of that, may the love of God flow in this city. May peace and harmony reign. May there be unity under the cross. May you today understand that you are not here to continue these seeds of division. This is not the call of Jesus. The call of Jesus is this: come to me with arms wide open, just as you are. Ask the Lord today to reveal himself to you. Grab your Bible and dig into the words of the Lord. Begin to read these things. What you will find is over and over and over again, he is risen, he is alive, he is the conqueror, he is the only way, truth, and life. And church, he is trustworthy. This morning, we celebrate a bloodstained cross, the blood of our Savior. It's defeated the sin of the world. Completion to what was initiated in the Old Testament, the sacrificial system. He is the final lamb. Sin has been defeated. Death no longer holds any power over those who call him his own. Church, the relationship is open again between us and the Father. The veil is torn. The Spirit is alive and moving in this place. Church, the tomb is empty. He is victorious. Celebration is forever a declaration that Satan's lies, deception, death, and hell didn't win then, and they don't win now, nor will they ever in the future. Romans 8, 37 to 39 says this: in all of these things, come on. Don't you get me talking about my Jesus. In all of these things, we have been made more than conquerors through him who loved us first. Someone say first. There is no one in this room who has responded to the call of God first, who has initiated. Instead, what we do is we humble ourselves before him. We admit that our way is not the best way. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I just feel the Holy Spirit moving in this moment. Church, if you have your Bibles, I want you to underline that. I want you to print it out. I want you to put it on your fridge. I want you to set it up as a little like picture frame in your workplace. Students, put it in your lockers. This is a reminder for us all that no matter the time, no matter the age, no matter the date of the year or a date on a calendar, Jesus is undefeated and will be forevermore. Let me read that again. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, maybe you found yourself here this morning and you forgot just how good God is. May the empty tomb be your callback to remember. Maybe you're here this morning and you forget just how powerful God is. See, why are we here this weekend? We're here because Jesus paid a price that we should have had to pay. And in our deaths, it would have been final. Our sin paid for, the wrath of God met, but that would have been it. For none of us were capable of truly paying the price, amen? But because of our Savior, church, we live in a time that has been prophesied about for thousands and thousands of years. And because of all the noise, because of everything that we carry in our daily lives, how many times do you forget it as you're driving down the street in the midst of traffic, wondering why that person's going 150? Or maybe you're here and you found yourself in the midst of your cubicle, in the midst of the workplace, and it's just another day. Students, I know how dragging it is to go to the same class week after week after week. And in the mundaneness of those activities, and the stress and the storm of life, church, how often do we forget he is seated at the right hand of the Father? The tomb is rolled away. You're not a clump of cells that is sitting here in this room. You are uniquely and wonderfully made. He knows every hair on your head, and he calls you his own. And he sent his son to die on the cross. He sent his son to die for you and I because we are the apple of his eye. And his invitation, his desire is that you would believe, that you would place your trust in him. And that's it. That you would say, God, I believe that your son died for me. Forgive me of my sins. I don't want to have my life full of things that are just going to die and pass away. But beloved, he didn't leave it there, although that would have been enough. On the third day, the son rose from the dead. He walked out of that tomb, a resurrected Savior, declaring to you and I that not only can your sins be forgiven, but you can be reborn in Christ. Church, one day when those trumpets sound, you are going to be given a new body. When you see the Father face to face and he says, come on in, and you declare, God, I'm not worthy. God, I'm not worthy to enter in. And he'll say, I know, but my son knows you. And he's been talking about you over and over and over again. So come, join us. You are welcome in this place because my son rose from the grave. Church, today, our God is seated at the right hand of the throne. And each of his hands are still pierced. An opportunity for us to remember and never forget the price that was paid for each and every one of us. All because Jesus was not where he once was, or where the disciples and everyone else thought he should be, but was precisely where we needed him to be, forever risen. So don't look for life in dead things. Instead, this morning, let Jesus take a dead thing and make you alive in Christ. We can't, but Jesus did. He is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And so this morning, not only do we approach the communion table in remembrance, but this morning on Passover Sunday, we approach the communion table in celebration. Church, it's Easter. He's alive. And because of that, you can truly be alive as well. If you have your communion elements, I'll ask you to take them out. If you didn't receive one as you came in, please just lift your hand way up, leave it way up there. Our incredible guest and family services team will come and get you one of these emblems because they are awesome and they can see what I can't see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, pulls our attention back to Good Friday. Reminds us of what it is that Jesus initiated before they stepped into the Garden of Gethsemane where he would be betrayed. On that day, Jesus took the bread and broke it and declared, "This is my body." Said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Isn't that incredible? Not that will be, but that is. Again, Jesus proclaims to his disciples not only what will come, but will forevermore be. His body broken for us. For by his stripes, we find our healing. Because of our iniquities, he was pierced. Because of our transgressions, he remained on the cross. His sacrifice seen through to fulfillment because he loves his people. Verse 24 says, "When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" On Good Friday, we read all the verses in full. Paul also challenges us to remember, to examine our own lives. And I want to do that this morning. I want to give you a space to sit in this moment with Christ. Maybe you're here and you've forgotten that he called you home. Tunde told us the day of his salvation. For mine, it was April 5th, 2006. Palm Sunday. He reached out. Church, what was that day that he reached out to you, grabbed a hold of your heart, and you knew that you knew that you knew that he is who he says that he is? Maybe you're here this morning, you've never had that moment, but this weekend it's just been, man, you are shooketh. Because God has just been speaking to you and pulling your attention, maybe this morning. The beautiful thing about the cross is it's an invitation. The God of Christianity will never force you into relationship with him because true love doesn't force. True love invites. True love shows up. True love proves itself to be true. Come on. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never made that commitment. I just want to invite you. We're going to pray here in a second. But if you've never surrendered your life to God, I want you to do exactly what it is that God called me to do 18 years ago, where as he was speaking to me in an undeniable way, I remember thinking, I'm so tired. I'm tired of trying to do this all on my own. Maybe that's you today. All it takes is for you to say, God, I'm not enough, but I believe that you are. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Would you forgive me of all the things that I've said or thought or done that don't represent who you are, and teach me how to walk the other way? He'll do it because he's undefeated. So I'm going to pray this morning over each and every one of us, and I just encourage you to meet Jesus right where you are, Be honest in your conversation and watch as the Holy Spirit just moves and speaks across this room. Let's pray. So God, as we hold this bread in our hands, we remember today your body that was broken for us. Lord, we remember today that you willingly went to the cross, paid the price that we should have had to pay, that you endured mockery, that you endured the crown of thorns, that you endured the beatings and the floggings, that you endured, Lord God, those nails being pierced through your body, that you endured all of it for us. And so today, Lord Jesus, not only do we remember what you have done, but Lord, we remember that you're speaking here today. And we declare, Lord God, that we will remember tomorrow and the next day and the next day that you are Lord, not just on Easter Sunday, but every day of the calendar. God, you are worthy to be praised. And so, Lord, this morning, for those who are calling on you for the first time, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just even right now, Lord God, that you would break the chains that bind them. God, throw open prison doors. Lord, I pray that their hearts would be knit back together as only you can, that they would walk out of this place with the friends or their family that they came in with and tell them about the transformation that they just can't explain. But they believe. And so, Lord, our faith this morning is in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, can we partake today of the bread? Logical here for a second, so if you don't understand where I'm going, email me. We'll catch up. This blood is the seal of the new covenant that we have in Christ. What was initiated in the Old Testament by God, that sacrificial system where it was a lamb's blood because they were without blemish. It could be sufficient for the sin of the nation. What God had initiated and sustained and kept in the Old Testament, he once again initiates and sustains and keeps for us. Church, we find ourselves today not under a covenant that is insufficient, but we find ourselves today under a covenant that is fulfilled in the name of Jesus. That our sins are forgiven because of the blood. That he initiated. He came to earth on our behalf. He walked to the cross. His blood was poured out for us. And to this day, our God sustains this covenant. As you grow in your relationship with God, as you continue to lay your life down before him, as you continue to repent and say, God, turn me from all the wickedness of this world, it is God who holds us to himself. It's not what it is that we can do. It is always, has always been, and will always be what Christ has done for you. Heaven will not be full of good people. It'll be full of people who know they're not good enough. But Jesus has welcomed them home. That's you and I. And so this morning, let us remember our Savior who died and is risen and is coming again soon. Let's partake. Church, my heart is full this morning. What a Sunday, what an Easter weekend. May you go from this place and be a blessing because you are blessed. You may not feel blessed. You may have a whole list of reasons why that may not make sense right now, but I want to declare what is true despite what you see, what you feel, or what your present circumstances tell. Church, you are blessed because Jesus died for you and he was risen on the third day. And one day when we see him face to face, you will receive that new body and you will be unbound by all of this, all the stuff that's taking place because our God is greater. Church, he is risen. Tunde, if you can come and close our service this morning, brother. Life Center Kanata, we love you so much. What a church. What an incredible group of people. Get up here, brother. Come and close. We love you guys so much.